I suspected everybody in the room except me, and I beg forgiveness. But nobody here, anybody, does anybody here on the phone? Who's here on the phone?
Who's that?
Oh, you may. Oh, yes, yes, you were there. Okay, okay. All right. It's going?
Okay.
Wait. Good morning. The parish is Parashat Balak, and I have decided, it took me a long time to decide, but I decided I'm going to start with page 2. The second side of page 1 is appropriately page 2. What I'm going to begin with is the Rambam, and from the Rambam we are going to go to the parashat. It would seem, when one reads through Parashat Balak, it seems that this is certainly a fascinating parasha, just like any other parasha in Torah, except that it's all poetry. It's all poetry. A fellow Bilam who tries desperately to curse the Jewish people, and God turns his curses into magnificent blessings, to the point that we start davening every morning with the immortal words of Bilam, Atov Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Yisrael, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. What a fascinating, beautiful statement to be said by this Goy, Seine Yisrael. And ultimately, most probably all will have to admit to the goodliness of the tents of Jacob. And Rashi says that what was it that inspired him to say, Matovu Olacho Yaakov Mishkenotecha Yisrael? Because he saw, looking down upon the camp of the Jewish people, that their tents were lined up in such a way that the opening of one tent did not correspond to the opening of the other tent on the side. That means nobody could really open up, you walk out of your tent, you can't see what's going on in the next tent. The sense of privacy. The sense of privacy. And by the way, in other words, one could also say that herein lies one of the places from which to learn that as far as Torah is concerned, everyone is entitled, I was going to say, to the right to privacy, but Torah never really talks about rights. We don't have rights. In Torah, everybody has obligations, responsibilities. I have a responsibility not to invade the privacy of somebody else. I have no right to invade and get in our cook was what's cooking in somebody else's body. The idea, the right to privacy, which has become such an extremely important, significant pillar of a democratic Western world, even though we're living most probably in a time that if you know how to use a computer, if you're 5 years old, that is, you can find out everything about everybody on the face of this earth. The computer most probably has out-belonged, there simply, everybody's life is an open something or other. All right. And then, of course, there are other great psukim that were said. Everything that was said by Bilam was so beautiful. Am levodad yishkon ubagoyim lo yitchashav. A people that dwells alone. And is not considered amongst the nations. And there's the famous Litziv, Rav Soli Tzvi Yehuda, Berlin, who says, Am levodad, a people, if you will be alone, and you will not attempt to mingle and mix with the rest of the world, if you're am levodad yitchashav, then you are going to be considered significant and important.
Upadvayim, but if you can try and join the family of nations, that's the kind of family, you know, you can't always choose family. But to become part of the family of nations is not really a great accomplishment for Jewish people, because the family of nations spits us out anyway. So Am Levadad, if we are alone, we have a profound sense of our own identity, then we will be a meaningful factor in the world. But if we want to be part of the nations of the world, it will not go well for us. So there are beautiful psukim, there are many, many more beautiful psukim in Parashat Balak. It would seem as though there's no halacha. Last week we were talking about the fact that just all of Parashat Chukas is story, is history, and there the Parashat of Parah Adumah sort of seems to be a strange add-on to the Parashat, and that was the substance of last week's year. Over here it seems as though there's nothing beyond poetry in the Parashat. But it's not so. The fact is, we will see soon that one of the most fundamental articles of our faith finds its expression for the first time in Parashat Balak, in the words of Bilam. On that page 2, we have the Rambam. It's the Rambam toward the very end, the next to last perek in the entire great work of the Rambam, Mishneh Torah. HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amod La'achazir Malchut David L'yoshnach. King Mashiach will arise sometime in the future, and he's going to return the kingdom of David to what it originally was. La'Memshalah HaRishona, the first government over the Jewish people. Melech Mashiach is going to be Boneh HaMikdash, he builds the Bet HaMikdash. Umikabeis nidechei Yisrael, and he gathers in the dispersed of Israel. V'chozrin kol ha'mishpatim b'yamav kishahayu mikodem, and all the laws of Torah that may have, for one reason or another, fallen into disuse, will again become normative halacha. Makrivin korbanot, and he gives an example. We will begin bringing sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. Va'osin shmitin v'yovlot, and we're going to do shmitah and yovel. Kechol mitzvah sohagur of HaTorah, as the mitzvah said in the Torah. Today, shmitah is midah rabbanan. Shmitah is of rabbinic power. It is not biblical. In order for it to be biblical, we need all of Israel back in Eretz Yisrael. We need that people should know what shevet they came from. A lot of things are required before Yovel can be min haTorah, and so too Shemitah. V'chol mi, the Rambam says, v'chol mi she'en yomamin bo, whoever does not believe in Mashiach, o mi she'eno mechakel l'biyato, this is heavy stuff, the Rambam is saying. Not only is it important that we believe in this idea of a Mashiach coming, we also have to wait, that is, live in anticipation of his coming. That's not easy. That's not easy. We live very hurried, hassled lives, and we have enough tzuras. Most probably the only way that we should would be able to, I think we can fulfill this really, as I'm talking now, I think. In Shemone Esrei, 3 times a day we say, Es tzemach David avdecha mehedo katzmiach. The blossom of David, God speedily bring it to fruition again. Es tzemach David is really talking about the return of Malchut Beit David, which is the Mashiach. So we're really expressing our anticipation, and that we pray for it in Shemone Esrei. Good. I turned mine off. Something's off. Outside. All right. Okay. Oh, now, whoever does not believe in him,
does not wait for his coming. One may have been left with the impression that, you know, the prophets, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, they talk about Mashiach. So the Talmud is making it very clear, no. One who does not believe in the Mashiach is not merely rejecting the other prophets. He's rejecting Torah's Moshe. Lo b'shar nevi'im b'lvad hu kofer. It's not only the other prophets that he does not believe in. Elevat b'Torah b'Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe in Torah, and you don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu. Shaharei ha-Torah ha-Idolav. Because the Torah testifies about the coming of Mashiach, Shenema, V'shov Hashem al-Kehu Eshmutcha, V'lichamecho, God is going to return your captivity. He will have mercy on you. V'shov V'kibetzcha, and he will gather you in from all the nations of the world. If you will be dispersed anywhere throughout the world, God is going to bring you back. And he's going to bring you back through Melech HaMashiach. Ve'elu hadvarim hamufurashim b'Torah. These words about the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam says they include Hein kolin kol hadvarim shenemru ayidei kol hanavim. See, the Rambam wants to make it clear that you should understand, even though in this pasuk Mashiach is not mentioned, but what's mentioned in this pasuk is that ultimately all Jews are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. So he says that prophecy includes all of the other prophecies by all of the Nevi'im that talk about that return. Shenemru ayidei kol hanavim. And then, now we're getting where we want to go. Av b'parsha Bil'am nema. In the parsha of Bil'am it says, v'shom nibe. This Bil'am prophesies about shnei ha-moshichim, the two Moshiachs. Who are the two Moshiachs? B'moshiach ha-rishon. He prophesies about the first Moshiach, who is David. David is called the first, and the Mashiach that we look forward to in anticipation, that is going to be the Mashiach Hasheni. He prophesies, he saw. God gave him the opportunity to see and to express that he talks about the first Mashiach, who is David, Shahushia Yisrael Miyad Tzareim, who saved the Jewish people from the hands of their oppressors, Ubi Mashiach Ha'acharon, and he also prophesied about the Mashiach at the end, Sha'omeid Mi Bonav, who is going to arise from amongst the children of David, Shemoshia Yisrael Ba'akolam, who is going to save the Jewish people at the very end, Shomhu Omer. The Rambam is now going to quote the appropriate psukim in Parashat Balak. This is the pasuk, and we're going to be dealing with this pasuk. Ed enu v'lo ato. I see him, but not now. The Rambam says, Zed David. Ashurenu. I view him v'lo karov, but it's not close. See, it would seem as though Bil'am is repeating something. I see him, but not now. I view him, but not near. He says, no. Two different phrases. And the difference, of course, is between the word ed enu, to see, and the word ashurenu, that also means to see. The difference between the two is something that I see up close. Ashurenu is something that I see from the distance. So Bil'am is saying, Adenu, I see the Savior, v'lo ato, it's not right now, but it's not too far off in the distant future. Then he says, I see something else. Ashurenu, I view something out in the distance. V'lo karov, and that's not close. The one that is Adenu, v'lo ato, that is David. Ashurenu, v'lo karov, I can sort of, you know, I see it from the distance, and it's not close. That is Melech HaMashiach.
And the, now he's quoting again from the Pasuk. We're going back to the Pasuk. We're going to be defining this Pasuk in all, into all of its components. We've gone through two of the components so far. Erenu, I see him, v'lo'ato v'katnao. Ashurenu, I view him, v'lo karo, but it's not close. And then it says, Dorach kochav me Yaakov. A star, he sees a star shooting out of Yaakov. This star shooting out represents something unique, something very special that is taking place. That's David. Vitkom, Shevet, Miyaskol. Shevet means a scepter, a ruler arises over Israel. Ze Melech HaMashiach, that's King Mashiach. Back to the Pasuk. We've gone through now two sets of two. Erenu v'lo atav, Ashurenu v'lo korov, Dorach kochav miYaakov, v'kom shevet miYisrael. Well, if you know this pasuk by the time I'm finished with this year, I will consider it a very fine accomplishment for today. Back to the pasuk. Back to the pasuk. Umachatz patei malav. He's going to crush the ends, even the very ends of Moab. He's going to crush Moab. By the way, the whole parasha is about Balak, king of Moab, hiring a professional curser, S-E-R. A curser, a man who knows how to curse, all right? He hires Bilam in order to curse the Jewish people. And so the whole parsha is talking about Moab. But ultimately Moab is going to be crushed. David is going to crush the ends of Moab. The Chenu Omer. And it says indeed in Shmuel, Vayach et Moab, David struck and smote Moab by Yimadadein Bachhevel. He measured out the land of Moab with a rope. He took over Moab. The karka, this is the last part of the pasuk. The karka called the name Shade. And he destroyed, shattered all the sons of Shade. Who's the one that's going to shatter all the sons of Shade? Shade was a son of Adam. Shade is another term for all of mankind. And when we're talking about mankind over here, we're talking about those who are Sonny Israel, those who hate us. It's a pretty crowded field out there. Yes. Get a little uncomfortable. But they're going to be crushed, all B'nai Shade. Ze'amelach HaMashiach, that is King Moshiach, is the one who's going to destroy evil from upon the face of this earth. Shenemar bo, because it says about him, Umashlo mi yom ad yom, he's going to rule from sea to shining sea. It doesn't say shining in there, but you know, from one end of the earth to the other. Umashlo mi yom ad yom. Vohoya edom yirei shaman, he's back to the pasuk. We can see the pasukim in context as well. Edom will be destroyed and become an inheritance of the Jewish people. That's Esav said David. That David did Shenema that he Edom with David la'avodim Edom Esav, the southern part of the east bank of the Jordan. That's where Edom lived. They shall be for David as slaves. V'hoyo Yoresha, Zehamelach HaMashiach, who will destroy and inherit the rest of the world. Shenema, v'olu moshinim v'har tzion lishpotet har eisar v'aytav Hashem hamelucha. So the Rambam is saying that Bilam is the one who prophesies about two Mashiachim. Mashiach David and Mashiach Ben David. He sees what's going to happen in the relatively near future. 350 years later, and then he also sees as well what's going to happen maybe 3,000 years later or thereabout. So the Rambam says, this is a fundamental principle of Torah, that one must believe in Mashiach, and one must look forward in anticipation to him, and otherwise one is in fact rejecting Moshe and Torah. Extremely significant. Without getting into anything, I just feel that there's some confusion out there in the world about this Mashiach business, so it's worthwhile to put it in proper context. And watch. Wait. Going further in the Rambam. Our body, Midlach Huomer, in Sefer Devarim, we have it in Bamidbar and in Devarim, there is the parsha of Orei Miklot, cities of refuge. Somebody who kills unintentionally has a responsibility to flee to one of these cities of refuge, and there he's supposed to remain until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So the Rambam says, Avare Miklot Huomer, by the cities of refuge, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three cities of refuge on the east bank of the Jordan. When Jews are going to cross the Jordan to the west bank, there are another three cities that are to be designated, and indeed were. There were a total of six. But the Torah also says, V'miyarchim Hashem Elokecha et Gvulcha, if God is going to expand your boundaries. In other words, we Eretz Yisrael may become bigger than its biblical boundaries. I can't say those kind of things today, but we're saying it. Because God said, if God is going to explain your boundaries, you should add another three cities so that there will be a total of nine cities. And the Rambam says, this never happened. During all the history of the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash, they never added another three. Why didn't they add another three? Now the Rambam makes another comment. God does not command anything in Torah that is meaningless. If it says in the Torah that if your boundaries are going to be expanded, you're going to add three additional cities of refuge, you can bet your life on it that the borders of Eretz Yisrael will be expanded and you will have to add those three cities. So therefore he says, you have to understand that there is a period that's going to come at which there will be a Melech HaMashiach, when that is going to happen. The Rambam comes, one final point he makes over here. He has only brought us proof from Torah that there is Mashiach. He says, because in the prophets, I don't have to bring any proof. There are so many psukim in the Nevi'im that talk about Mashiach and the period to be, the La'atid Lavo, that no necessity to bring any quotes from the Nevi'im also. Yes?
Why would
one
need in
the question was,
yeah.
And the question was that in the time of Mashiach, what do you need more cities of refuge? What do you need more people like? There won't be any unintentional killing. Everybody's get a sin. Ish tachat gafno v'tachat einato. I think that the Rambam had your question in mind, and therefore you've set the stage for what comes now. Maybe we could work this out, you know. Stand up job, you ask the question, and there it is. The Chacham answers, the Rambam basically is going to say the period of Mashiach is going to be a normal period in history.
Olam kemin havanoheg.
Olam kemin havanoheg. But wait a minute, there can be differences, there will be significant differences, otherwise why is it Yemot HaMashiach? There will be knowledge of God in the world. There will be a greater sense of spirituality in the world.
Right.
But we're going to go. But you know, accidents will happen even in periods of great bliss. Nothing is going to change in that respect. What? Vayala al dacha. Let it not occur to you. Vayala al dacha. Sha'amelach Mashiach tzorek la'asot. Otot u'moftim. U'mechadej dorim ba'olam. U'mechayei meitim. V'chayotze b'dvarim elu. Don't think that King Mashiach is going to have to prove himself to us by virtue of the fact that he's going to do all sorts of miracles. He's going to bring the dead back to life. He's going to make all sorts of new things in the world. Signs, miracles, wonders. Eina tovaka. That's not so. You know, what's his proof? Eina tovaka. Shehadei Rabbi Akiva chochum godol mechachne mishnah. Rabbi Akiva was one of the great wise men of the Mishnah. And he was the armor bearer of Ben Koziva. That was the original name of Bar Kochba. Why was he called Bar Kochba, by the way? Because Rabbi... the pasuk that we were learning, you know the pasuk you're supposed to be learning? Enenu v'lo ato, ashurenu v'lo Korov, Dorach Kochov mi Yaakov. A great star goes shooting out from Yaakov. Bar Kochva. But his real name was Ben Koziva. And Rabbi Akiva thought he was king. Who are your Omer Olav? Shuhu HaMelech HaMashiach. Rabbi Akiva said about him that he is King Mashiach. V'dimo hu v'chol chachmei dodo shuhu HaMelech HaMashiach ad she'neherag v'amalach. It was not only Rabbi Akiva alone, but all the wise men of the time thought that he was Melech HaMashiach until he was killed because of his sins. Kivin she'ne'erak, once he was killed, no'dalahem, then they knew she'ino that he is not Mashiach. V'lo shalu, here is where the Rambam is proving what he has in mind. Rabbi Akiva and Chachmei Yisrael never asked on Bar Kochba to make a sign or a miracle. They didn't ask him to bring the dead back to life. Because that's not a requirement for Melech Mashiach. Melech Mashiach is going to be a great leader. And it's not going to be a period in time where anything changes from the normal way the world operates. And I'm going to explain that a little bit further. V'lo shalom yimenu chachamim lo oth v'lo mofet. The wise men didn't ask of him a sign or a miracle. V'ikar ha-Torah kachem. This is the most important thing. Sha'Torah hazot chukeha u'mishpateha la'olam u'lomei olamin ve'mosifin aleim v'lo godin mehem. Torah is eternal. You don't add to Torah. You don't subtract the Torah. Torah never said that you have to ask Moshiach for proof that he's Moshiach. He will prove it. How will he prove it? How will we know? So the next halacha, the Rambam says, if there will arise a king from the house of David, Hogeva Torah studies Torah, the Osek the mitzvahs kid David Olin, and does mitzvahs like his father David, Gifi Torah Shebchsafi Shebalpeh, according to the written Torah and the oral Torah, V'yachov Kol Yisrael Leilegva, and he's going to bring all of Israel to keep Torah. That's the most difficult job of all. By the way, that's a bigger mofet, that's a bigger miracle than anything else. And he will bring all of Torah, all of Israel, to follow Torah ulechazeg bitka. He is going to repair all of the cracks and the chinks in the armor of the Jewish people. And he will wage the wars of God. This person has a chazakah. He is Mashiach. Im also the Hatzliach, if he did it and succeeded, Ubona Hamikdash, the Mikoha, and he built the Beit Hamikdash on its site. That's going to be a formidable task. Formidable. There will be 1 billion or 2 billion people who will stand up against him. The dispersed of Israel, then Hadeza Mashiach Badai. Once he does that, then this person whom we assume is Becheskat Mashiach, he has the potential, he has the wherewithal, if he builds the Mikdash B'Mekom. Very important that the Rama put in that word. Then he's Mashiach Badai, V'yatakeinat Olam Kulo La'avodet Hashem B'Yachad, and he will finally bring the Tikkun Olam, you understand? Everybody thinks they're going to bring Tikkun Olam. Well, the only Tikkun Olam is going to be that which will be brought by Mashiach Shenema. Ki oz efoch el amin sofa brura, then I will express myself to the nations in a clear words, likro kulam b'shem Hashem, to everybody will call in the name of God, ula avdo shchem echad, and together we will all serve God. Vim lo hitzliach hasho, and if he didn't succeed, oneder, or he was killed, b'yadua she'eino ze she'efticha alav Torah. V'arei b'chol malchei b'in David ha'shleimim u'ksheirim she'meitu. If he didn't succeed, or he was killed, then we know for sure this is not the one the Torah promised. And he is like all the kings of the house of David who are good and pious, who died. The only reason this person had such great success, it's a frightening Rama, he had this great success to test the Jewish people. Shenema, as it says, when our maskilim yikashlu, intelligent people may err. We have had extremely painful periods in Jewish history of false messiahs. Now, to make it, there's a lot of confusion. What's Olam Haba? Is Olam Haba Tchias HaMeisim? Is Olam Haba Yemot HaMashiach? Sometimes even our rabbis refer to Yemot HaMashiach as Olam Haba. There are all sorts of terms, and they may be confusing. So just to clarify that for you, I'm going to take you to a piece in the Davening on Shabbos. Unfortunately for me, I only had an Ashkenaz sitter with an English translation, but there's really very little difference between the two. Shabbos in the morning, before Kel Adam, it says, Ein ke'erkecha Hashem lokenu ba'olam hazeh, ve'ein zulatcha malkenu l'chayei ha'olam haba, Efer built the Chokoralehu Liyamot HaMashiach, Vendom Alchomoshiehu Lutriyat HaMetin. Let's go over it again. None can be compared to you in God, our God, in this world. There is none beside you, our King, in the life of the world to come. There is none but you, Efer, built the Chokoralehu Liyamot HaMashiach, in the days of Mashiach. There is none like you, our Savior, at the resurrection of the dead. There are four terms used here. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Yemot HaMashiach, and Tchiyat HaMeitim. Now, it's explained down there, but I'll tell it to you simply, then we'll read it. Olam Hazeh, now. Everything, till now. All Olam Hazeh. The confusion begins with Olam Haba. The Rambam says Olam Haba exists simultaneously with Olam Hazeh. Olam Haba is right now. In what respect is Olam Haba right now? After one passes on, they go. What we talk about Olam Haba means the world of the souls. So that has existed throughout time. Olam Hazeh, and from Olam Hazeh, the immediate next step Achamei Ves Mishonah is to the world of the Shamas. Now, within Olam Hazeh, within Olam Hazeh, there are going to be two periods in history. One is going to be the period of Yemot HaMashiach. That's number three of the list over here. And then, after a long period of Yemot HaMashiach, there will come a further period in history called Tchiyat HaMetim. That will also be a long period, and after that, everything will end. And take a look at the second. We can read both of them. None can be compared to you. A fourfold statement of the uniqueness of God, each phrase of which is then expanded in the following lines. The fourfold structure of many early rabbinic prayers reflects the influence of Jewish mysticism, which saw reality in terms of four dimensions of increasing spirituality. There's the world of action, the world of asiya, the world of formation, the world of yitzicha, the world of creation, which is Bria, and the world of emanation, that is Atzilut. There are four worlds, or four levels, four dimensions to the world. This is very important in Kabbalah and Hasidus in general, and in Chabad Hasidus in particular. I was just at a wedding last week, and real special at one point, the band played, and everybody sang the Balatanya's niggin, the first Rebbe's niggin. Ay, 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 ay. This is not a song fest, but that Rebbe's niggin, the Alter Rebbe's niggin, has four, it goes from one level to the next. The four levels represent these four emanations of the structure of the world, of Asiya, Yitzida, Bria, and Atzilut. And then at the end, the Niggun is so beautifully formed, you feel like you're coming down. Oh, after going up, everything changes, and you feel like you're descending from the upper worlds. If you ever hear it by a wedding, listen carefully. And if you turn to the person next to you and say, "Well, that's Asiya. They're by Yetzira now. That's Bria. We've hit Atzilut, and now we're on the way down." Second paragraph. This world. The prayer itemizes four time zones. This world that we inhabit now, the world to come, according to Maimonides, the realm of the soul after death. That's what Olam Haba is, which means Olam Haba exists simultaneously with Olam Hazeh. Then the third is the days of Mashiach, when the temple will be built, the rule of David will be restored, and peace and justice will prevail in the affairs of mankind. And then fourth, the resurrection of the dead, the final denouncement of history, when those who have died will live again. So you have all four terms, and all four terms here in the davening are really being defined as they properly should be understood, even though there may be different medrashim and others that may use Olam Haba to mean a number of different things, but its technical meaning is as we see it here. The Rambam is going to go on, as I said, and say that nothing, there's a Gemara that says, Ein Bein Ha'olam Hazeh La'olam Haba Elo Shibud Malchiyot Dufa. The Rambam passes that. That means the following. The only difference between this world, Ein Bein Ha'olam Hazeh, by the way, this is beautiful. Listen to the Gemara. Ein Bein Ha'olam Hazeh, there is no difference between this world, La'olam Haba, and the world to come. Elo, the only thing difference is Shibud Malchiyot, that we will not be enslaved to the nations of the world. The Gemara is using Olam Haba not in the sense that the Rambam technically is. There's a classic example of where the word Olam Haba means the next period in history. But it's not talking about the world of the Neshama. But the real technical meaning of Olam Haba is the world of the Neshama. All right, now that we have that, let's go next. Back to page one. The point being made over here in this parasha of Balak, we are talking about a principle of Jewish creed and belief upon which just about everything stands. So it's not just a lot of beautiful poetry, it's not only a Matovu or a Lecha Yaakov or Am Levada Yishkon, but here is enunciated clearly in Torah the great principle of Mashiach. All right, Ato, let's read. Let's read the text of the Pesukim Ato. Now, after Bilam has failed miserably, he has not succeeded in cursing the Jewish people. But by the way, something that can be lost in the course of reading this parasha is something that's very interesting. There's something that's not written in the parasha, but it, for us, it certainly should put a whole new light on everything in the parasha. Balak Melech Moab is terrified that what Israel has done to Sichon and to Og, he is the next in line, and he sees that conventional warfare does not succeed against the Jewish people. Sichon and Og had mighty forces, but they were crushed before the forces of Moshe. So therefore, he decides we have to find wherein lies the strength of the Jewish people. And he was told that their strength is with their mouths, prayer. So he decided, how do you fight a mouth with a bigger mouth? So he decided the biggest mouth around is Bilam. Bilam is going to use the Jewish weapon, but turn it around against them. And of course, everybody's excited. He comes, he builds altars, he brings sacrifices. And there's only one thing. All of Balak's fears and the trepidation of Balak is all built out of fiction. Israel had absolutely no intention of attacking Balak. There was no threat. In Sefer Devarim it says, Torah tells, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moab, al tizgam bam milchama, don't wage war with Moab. Don't start up with Moab. I gave that, their land, I gave it to them, children of Lot. It's all in the mind. All of Parashat Balak is in the minds of people. Everybody sees Jews as a threat to the whole world. Everybody sees Jews as a threat to the whole world. And the fact is, we don't threaten anybody. We don't threaten anybody. Except, of course, possibly theologically. Oh boy, do we threaten a lot of people theologically and spiritually. But all of Parshat Balak is built on a fiction. A fiction that the sick mind of Moab has convinced them that these Jews are coming here to destroy them. And they never did. They never attacked them. It's only after they attacked us later, the days of David, they killed part of the family of David. Okay, then we have the right. Torah does give us the right to self-defense. Now, don't make lightly of that. Not everybody gives us the right to self-defense. Well, other people have that right. Right? Anyway, Bilam has failed. From Balak's point of view, Bilam has failed. From our point of view, he hasn't failed at all. He has given us tremendous blessings that are true ad hagamos until today. So now he says in his fourth and last speech to Bilam, to Balak, he says, Vato, hinini holeth lami, I'm going to my people, I'm going back home. L'choi yotzcha ashiyasa hom azel amcho b'achlit hayomim, let me advise you and counsel you what this people Israel is going to do to your people at the end of days. Now you're not in any danger at all, but at the end of days, they will crush you and destroy you. And he declaimed this parable and he said, Na'um Bilam the no Be'or, so spaketh Bilam the son of Be'or, Un'um Hakeve, Shestum Ha'ayin, the words of a man with the pierced eye. Noam Shomer Imre El, so speaks the one who hears the words of God, the Yodea Dat Elkom, and he knows the mind of the Supreme One. Och in Vey, the Gemara says, he knows this, Bilam knows the mind of the Supreme One. The Gemara says he knew how to calculate the 1 second during the course of the day that God gets angry. And if you, so if you know how to calculate that, you have awesome power. The only thing is, God decided not to get angry when Bilam was around. So that didn't help him either. Machazeh Shadar Yechazeh, he sees the vision of God, no fail, uglu oinayim, while fallen and with uncovered eyes. In other words, he was not able to receive prophecy standing up like Moshe. It was in a trance that it appeared to. And here is the pasuk that the Rambam brings, and the pasuk upon which Biat HaMashiach is based on, El Enu V'lo Ato Ashurenu V'lo Koro, I see him, but not now. I view him from the distance, but it's not close. Dorach Kochav Miyakov, a star shot forth from Jacob, V'kom Shevet Miyisrael, and a rod of rulership has risen from Israel, Umachatz Ar Teboav, and he shall strike down the ends of Moab, a karkar kolmenei shade, and undermine all the children of shade. V'hoyo Edom Yireisho, Edom shall be a conquest for him. V'hoyo Yireisho, Seir Oivav, Seir, another term for Esau, his enemies will be destroyed and conquered by him. The Yisrael Oseh Choyl, and ultimately Israel, well, the translation says will attain wealth. Choyl means wealth, but I think its meaning means much more spiritual wealth. You know, not everything is money. And the word Choyl, when Eishes Choyl Miyimsa.
Yes.
Are we talking about finding a woman who has money? So the Eishes Choyl. Choyl means strength. All right. V'yerd v'Yakov, this is Mashiach. From Yaakov he will come and he will rule. V'yerd means to rule. V'hevid sorit me'ir, and he will destroy the remnants of the cities. Nothing will remain. All right. There are a lot of Rashi's I want to learn, but I'm not going to learn the Rashi's. I'm going to go, you know, there's always next year. We're going to go to page 3. And don't get upset by page 3. We're not going to go through all of page 3. This is the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. Or HaChaim. Ah! What a beautiful Or HaChaim. What the Or HaChaim is going to deal with is different than what the Rambam has said and different than what Rashi has said. The psukim are all repetitious. Ed enu v'lo ato is first phrase. Ashur enu v'lo karov is the second phrase. Dorach kochav v'yakov, phrase 4, equals phrase, phrase 3 equals phrase 4. V'kom shevet v'yishchol. Okay? So he says like this. Kefal hadvarim b'milas shanis, the ideas are repeated in different words. Eren lo ato, ashur eren lo kor. And then there's also the repetition of dorach koch of Yaakov, the star that is going to shoot out from Yaakov, and then kom shevet v'yisrael. Kol anavuah b'melech ha-mashiach nema. Rashi and the Rambam had said that the first part of each phrase, part 1 is David, part 2 is Mashiach. Part 1 is David, part 2 is Mashiach. That's how the Rambam learned it. That's how Rashi learns it. He's going to say, and it's not a matter that he's disagreeing, this also is meant by the pasuk. And he's going to say that all of the phrases are all talking about Mashiach. Ah, but how does it work? So he says, Kol hanevuah b'melech Mashiach nemar, the whole prophecy was said about King Mashiach v'yidbaer, al-pi divrayim, and this can be explained according to the words of our rabbis. There are two gemaras in the Sefer Sanhedrin. One is on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, where God says, Vani, Ani, I, Be'ito Achishena. In her time, I will hasten it. Now, wait. If it's in its time, it's not hastened. If it's hastened, it's not in its time. So the Gemara says that this is talking about the two possibilities of the coming of Mashiach. There is a time that was divinely set aside for the coming of Mashiach. If we are worthy, we can hasten the coming of the Mashiach before the appointed time. If we are unworthy, he will nevertheless come at the appointed time. Be'ito means, yeah, there's a time, and he'll come. Achishena means we can bring him before the appointed time. So that means, therefore, there are two possibilities of the coming of the Mashiach. There's another question that the Gemara asks. In Sefer Daniel, Mashiach, no. In Sefer Zechariah, Mashiach is described as Oni Rochev al Hachamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. Right? In Daniel, Mashiach is described as V'oru, and behold, Imamanei Shemaya, with the clouds of the heaven. Two different descriptions. One is a description of poor man riding on a donkey, clippity-clop, slow, bit by bit, but you know, you keep getting there closer and closer. The description in Daniel, the heavens opening up, and Mashiach comes. These are two descriptions, because the Gemara answers there's no contradiction between the two psukim. The two psukim are describing the two possibilities. If Mashiach is to come in his time, Be'ito, the Geula comes in its proper time, then it will be part of an evolutionary process. The students of the Vilna Gaon and the students of the Baal Shem will come at the end of the 18th century. Good Jews are going to be coming throughout all of the 19th century. More and more Jews will come in the 20th. And there are Jews coming. It's the 21st century already. Well, that's an evolutionary process. Nothing has happened in one single miraculous, overwhelming moment in time. Going to come. Oni Rochev al Hachamor. But it all keeps adding up. The process continues to evolve and evolve. There's a second possibility, and that second possibility is a revolutionary process. By the way, this was also what's significant about this, Orach Chaim and others who speak about this, and even Gemara itself, is that you have to know that there are two possibilities. Because there are those who say, when Mashiach comes, Mashiach comes, he's going to give me a special invitation, I'll get a first class ticket on El Al, and he'll bring me there to go. I can sit around, I don't have to have any problems in Eretz Yisrael with mom and with taxes and with army and all the rest. I'll wait, we'll come. No, we're not flying off to Eretz Yisrael. That's assuming that there's going to be a revolutionary process. And if there will be a revolutionary process, there are going to be a lot of people before them online. The Rebbe will bring the people that he wants first. If you believe that it can only be a revolutionary process, the heavens opening up, then nothing happened here in the last 200 years. Nothing. Now, that's pretty bad. If, of course, you believe that, yes, it may very well be an evolutionary process. Boy, then we are in the middle of an extremely significant evolutionary process, because the evolution of this process has begun to speed up. By the way, they say about the Vilna Gaon that he used to walk back and forth in his room, and they would and they would hear him say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want the plain pshat of the pasuk, Be'itach Hashena, bring it quick, speedily in its time. In a sense, there's no question about it, that the process that started 200-300 years ago, the fact is you can even go back to after 1492, Jews already started coming to Tzfat and to other places. But there's no question about it that in the last 60 years the process has begun to speed up, and there are four planes coming from Nefesh to Nefesh this summer, you understand, so getting another little shot in the process is speeding, up. So the and take a look what he says. Be'itach Hashena, Zachu, if Jews are worthy, Hashena will hasten it. Lo Zachu, if they are unworthy, it will come Be'itach. Be'itach Hurachu Muflok means it's very far in the distance. V'zele Chohaz, this is the proof. Heinonu B'tchilas Mea Hashishis Le'elef Hashishi. We're at the beginning of the 600 of the 6,000. The Arachan lived 200 years ago. We're in 5,700. He's talking about the beginning of 5,600. Right? What was that? Less than 200 years ago. So he says, take a look. It's obviously got to be a long way off, because from the time that Yeshayahu said Be'itach Hashena, oh boy, there's a lot of time has passed. What he's going to say now is very beautiful archive. He says all of the repetitions in the pasuk are not really repetitions. Each one is talking about a different kind of gula, a different kind of redemption. And I see it, it's not right now, but it's not far off. That's the geula, the redemption of the revolutionary one. Behold, from the very heavens. And then it says, I can see it, but it's not near. You know what? That's talking about the geula that's going to come as part of an evolutionary process. The second part of the pasuk, Dorach Kochav VeYakov, out comes a star shooting from Yaakov that represents the miraculous end of days. And then V'kom Shevet V'Yisrael, V'kom talks about something that begins, it arises step by step. That's talking about the second possibility. Not a revolutionary geula, not a geula in one single instant of time, but a geula that comes as part of a process. And then, what was it? Eren Goliatom, Ashuren Golokorom, Dorachel Gominyakov, become Shevet Yisrael, Umochatz Pase Moav, Vikarkar Kol Vene Shevet. Mochatz Pase Moav means that, you know, there will be little victories. Mochatz Pase Moav means a crushing defeat of all the enemies of Israel. One is part of the evolutionary process, and the other is part of the revolutionary process. All right, that's really what he says in the next. Okay, all right. So this is it. Yes, one moment. Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you what she asked. And by the way, there are some misfortune she asked. Why is not, the Gemara tells us, one or two places in Shas. One is in Sukkah. The Gemara says that there are going to be, at the end of the day, two Moshiachs. Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. Why is that not mentioned? So there are misfortune to take all of these dualities, and it's certain to say that one applies to Mashiach ben Yosef, and the second applies to Mashiach ben David. And then there are others who say that the whole idea of Mashiach ben Yosef is a something that a Kabbalah sort of a halacha motion is Sinai, but not part of Torah Shel Tzav. About Mashiach ben Yosef, that's so. There's so much to talk about that. I think we did our job on Parashas. Well,
and man in the Jewish name of the Vias HaMashiach, the Abba Pisha Yifamea in Kosea Kakelo, the Holy Church.
You gotta pick up, yeah, he's here, picking up his own.
Thank you.